If it is or if it ain't, it's gonna come out.
Good morning, everybody. It's your girl, Miracle Sims, and you're listening to God, Sex, and Love, your daily dose of inspiration, the juice. It is March the 9th, 2024, and today the topic is sexless marriages. Yeah. I guess today's the day. Sexless marriages. Man, listen, Well, first of all, I hope that you guys had a great day yesterday. Mine was just fine. Yeah, mine was good. Overall, I ended up doing 3 future episodes of the GSL talk show. Each one of them stood out and are significant. So technically, I did 4 shows yesterday. So I had a quite busy day and things like that. But yeah, man, you know, good content coming and things like that. But let's go ahead and get into this conversation, because I know y'all probably logged in because you saw sexless marriage on there. So yeah, man, I don't know why I got to be the one, you know what I'm saying, to address this or whatever. And I'm sure, I mean, we've addressed it before on GSL, but obviously there is something to this whole conversation that needs to be said. So I'm just going to do my part and share what the Bible has to say. So hopefully it will encourage us and inspire us, especially those who are married. But if you're not married, there's still some information I believe that will be beneficial to you, so you can go ahead and know ahead of time. So yeah, I don't know why I got to be the one, right? But I'll say this, like, this has been an observation throughout life. I think that now, to me, as somebody that studies and read the Bible, I know that it's a spiritual attack against marriages. Again, the very first episode of the GSL talk show, I had a lovely couple called the Englishes, and they came and they shared about the importance of sex and marriage. If you haven't seen the episode, go check it out. It's still relevant, you know, and everything like that. So shout out to them, you know, for coming and being transparent and open about the things that was happening in their marriage when they were dealing with such things, right? But for whatever reason, it's just this narrative that when you become married, you don't have sex, right? I think many of us have heard that thing. But then on the flip side, you know, the conversation is that when you're not married, there's all this sex that's promoted, right? Whether it's the perversion or whether it's just people that are just falling short, whatever you may say, all of that is promoted and hyped up to be so great and things like that. And then when couples become married, then it's like, oh no. You know, it's like the enemy, right, uses that to be like, okay, so now get busy with work, get busy with kids, get busy with this, get busy with that. And I feel like, again, it's all just a spiritual attack against God's design. It's all a spiritual attack against what God said is good. So to me, that's what it is, and it's that part is frustrating. But on the flip side, hey, I guess I got to be here to address this. Now here's the thing. I feel like this, God has put this on my heart like years ago, even before I was married. Like, I started working on I got like 2 scripts in my vault, and they both address this issue. And again, this was before marriage, before I even met my husband, before any of this. And, you know, because maybe it was just based on observations, right? Because, you know, my married friends would talk to me about their situations, or just make observations like what people had to say online, or just all these different things, right? And then now that I'm married and stuff like that, again, of course, like, life, marriage, all these things are going to come with their own set of issues. But I guess today, I don't know if I got to be the little heavily hit woman to come against this topic and come against this spirit that is trying to thwart and separate marriages. But hey, I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna share what the Bible has to say, And then that's gonna be it. So yeah, that's what I went deeper about this morning. That was on my heart and mind. And I already kind of had some things in place to start like doing more content centered around this conversation. But I mean, I guess I feel led to just go ahead and address this thing today, like start today. Even though, I mean, again, y'all may have noticed that we started to put like some little quotes out there. And, you know, again, I have been thinking and praying about like, again, like I said, I still got to finish the movies and, you know, stuff like that. But I guess today the juice is centered around this conversation. Let me go ahead and give a shout out to my mom. She's tuning in live. She says, good morning, sister. Finally, an early juice. Yes. Yeah, I guess so, mama. I guess so. Yep. I thought about that. I said, by the time I came over here and sat in front of the camera, it was 6 o'clock on the dot. And so, you know, I guess the Lord said, get on up early and get this juice out here. So here we go, y'all. Just the definition. Here's the definition of sexless marriage. Now, it doesn't have a formal definition, but this is the one I came across. It was interesting because what I found said that there was multiple definitions for this, but obviously I just wrote the first one down. And it says the couple has not had any sex at all for a long period of time. So that is what's quote unquote considered to be a sexless marriage. Apparently there's other definitions of that as well, but yeah, that's that. And here's the thing, before I get into these verses, right? I think again, not say the point of GSL, but I think part of what we've done as GSL is, I guess, kind of expose some of these false narratives about what God has to say about sex, like, and what the Bible has to say about sex. Because people have these ideas that of what the Bible has to say. Now, of course, people try to say, oh, you know, the Bible says that sex is only for procreation. The Bible says that sex is only for the man. The Bible says, and I'm like, I don't see that in none of my studies. I don't see that. I don't see that. Stop lying. Stop just believing what somebody else told you, because that's not what those words say. Like, the Bible has plenty to say about sex. It has plenty to say about sex in marriage. Yes, it has plenty to say about sex outside of marriage too. And yes, it does call out different types of sex and saying that it's not, you know, again, God's will, it might be an abomination, things of that nature. We're not talking about none of that today. We focused on sex and marriage today. But first of all, so whatever narrative you got about what the Bible says about it, you might need to go and study and go deeper for yourself and read it for yourself to actually know. Because if somebody told you any of those things that I just told you, then that's a lie from the pits of hell. And so, and I rebuke it in the name of Jesus, because that is not what the Bible has to say about sex at all. Matter of fact, I mean, you guys can go check out, of course, the Psalms of Solomon. I'm sure you guys have heard about that section. It's very sexual in nature, you know, and it doesn't come from a negative perspective. Surprise, surprise. If you didn't know that, go deeper, check it out. So that was like one of the first things I feel like needs to be addressed, like whatever our perspective is about what the Bible has to say or what God has to say. Again, I've shared on here multiple times, but here it is again. Okay. Sex is not a sin. That part's not the sin, friends. I don't know why we got that narrative too. We feel like sex is such a bad thing. It's so wrong. Like, again, and stuff like that. Now there are some, you know, again, parts of sex or some types of sex that is considered to be sin, right? But sex between a married couple is not. So let's get that on the table as well, you know, for those that are struggling with, again, that. Again, there's so much to say just in general about the sex conversation. But again, today I'm talking about sex in marriage, in particular sexless marriages. Because again, this is something that we need to fight against. Married couples, this is something that you guys need to be fighting against. We, because I'm a part of married couple as well. This is something that we need to fight against. You may be wondering why. So I'm going to share these Bible verses, and they clearly explain why. But if you're in one, right? If you're in a sexless marriage, then you know why. But if not, if you're someone that's not in one and you're making observations and this is new to you, whatever case may be, then the Bible tells us clearly why we should be fighting this as married people. Okay. Hebrews 13 and 4 says, let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. So I believe it kind of starts there. You know, what God, sex is a gift from the Lord for married couples, right? And I guess by being in a sexless marriage, you're not accepting the gift. Like, and it's the interesting things. I know I talk about this when it comes to just the free gift that Christ has given us all. At the end of the day, in any other scenario, you're accepting the gift. Like if it's your birthday, if it's a regular day, if somebody's giving you a gift, most likely you're accepting the gift. But all of a sudden, it seems like in marriage, we don't want to accept the gift. We want to take the gift all outside of marriage. But then in marriage, oh, there's a gift here. Oh, I don't want that gift. Like, how does that make sense? Make that make sense. You can't. So, I guess starting the understanding that the marriage bed is undefiled, the gift is this. It's a sex is a gift in marriage, and it should be used and should be accepted, and things of that nature. So yeah, let me go ahead and give you guys another verse. 1 Corinthians 7:5, it says, do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again, so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So if you that answers one of the questions right there. Why is this so important? Why should married couples combat this idea of sexless marriage? There's several answers just in that one verse. One is telling us that so Satan may not tempt us. It's also telling us because a lot of us have a lack of self-control. And I think that these things are operating. We can see this stuff operating all around us, right? You know, we like to talk about, oh, you know, marriages with infidelity, and we like to talk about, you know, yeah, let's just stay there. Okay. And it starts from somewhere, friends. Now, granted, you know, I don't condone it. I'm not, you know, saying that that's a good thing to do, because obviously you're going against your vows and commitment to the Lord and your spouse if you choose to step outside of your marriage, right? So that's not a great good thing at all, right? However, all I'm saying is that if you don't want these things happening in your marriage, then you need to be coming against this spirit that's trying to get in your marriage as the sexless marriage. And I'm not saying that it's going to solve all things, because you know, a cheater is a cheater and people are going to make their own decisions, stuff like that. And that's a whole nother thing, right? But what we can do as believers is do our parts here, and things like that. But that's a whole nother. I'm going to probably continue that conversation in a second. I want to go back to this verse, because it starts off by saying, do not deprive one another except perhaps in agreement for a limited time. Now, here's another false narrative that likes to get pushed in the world. Oh, the patriarchy and the Bible is just against women, and that the man is in control and women don't have control. And it's just so wrong that the man is controlling even the sex life and X, Y, and Z. I don't know what y'all think perhaps by agreement means. That to me, that means both spouses, both the husband and wife. Now, I don't know if I'm misunderstanding something, but it says perhaps by agreement. So in order to have an agreement, it seems like two parties need to come together. I mean, now am I wrong? I don't know. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the word agreement. But again, I'm coming against, I guess, all of these things, because this is just an example again of how we need to be studying to show ourselves approved. Like, people wouldn't say the stuff that they say if they actually took the time to read and then study and understand. Like, I don't know where these things come from, but well, no, I do know where they come from. Again, they come from the pits of hell. And people are just sharing it. They're just like, oh, I heard somebody say that the Bible says that, you know, men are in control of the sex life or whatever. And then you're like, what part of the Bible? Tell me where. Because I don't, I mean, matter of fact, there's Bible verses that tell us that, hey, my husband's body belongs to me and vice versa. Seems like I got some type of ownership in that situation. I don't know, but I'm just sharing. So here's another verse. 1 Corinthians 7:3, it says, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. Now, a lot of times when I hear this conversation, and we're going to address this more on GSL, because usually when I hear this conversation, I'm hearing about, you know, women that are keeping it from their husbands. You hear about that. Women, wives, you need to be, you know, available to your husbands, X, Y, and Z. And people take offense to that, and they got whole movements sharing about that and saying like, oh, well, you know, women shouldn't always, and it's, you know, consensual, and you know, if the woman doesn't want to, you can't use the Bible to say that. No, hey, I'm not going to add nothing to the Bible. It says here that both parties need to be given the conjugal rights to the other party, both the wife and both the husband. That's what it say. So, I mean, I don't know where we're getting our other narratives from, but I just want to address this part of this conversation is that, contrary to popular belief, women are suffering in this area as well. Yeah. Men aren't the only ones that are being deprived. I know plenty. and it's an ongoing conversation. It's either happening one way or the other. Now, the enemy is going to try to get in how he tried to get in. But what I'm saying is, let's not act like women are the only one withholding and not staying true to this verse of what it's saying. Men are out of order here too. So both are rebuked in the name of Jesus. But I just want to make sure we all know that, again, this isn't just something that's going on with men folk. Because that's the narrative, that, oh, well, women are keeping it from men, and they holding and withholding and da-da-da-da. And so that's the reason why some of the men do da-da-da. Well, why do you not think that this is happening with women too? And, we got to, I'm not saying use it as an excuse to sue sin, right? I'm not saying use it as an excuse to, well, because I'm not doing this, then I need to do this, or whatever the case may be. Again, the couple needs to be communicating. The couple needs to be coming together and figuring this thing out. Again, combating this spirit that is trying to divide. But we got to address this more on GSL. So more content is coming in reference to this, whether it's panel discussions, I don't know what all is coming, but we got to address this, because again, I believe that this is a strong issue with wives, with the lack of intimacy. And I know I'm not just talking about sex. Yes, I'm talking about sex, because I'm talking about sexless marriages. But, you know, this is just intimacy in general. Like, some of these wives just want a simple date night, you know? Like, some wives just want simple, like, interaction and stuff. And to me, and it's so confusing to me about these things. Like, even again, in my single days, when I was making observations and, you know, hearing the perspectives of what's going on in marriages, it's like, I don't understand, because it seems to be so simple. Like, what's hard about date night? What's hard about a little more intimacy? But obviously, there's something that's hard and difficult. So those that are, I mean, struggling in this area, I think we might need more feedback or something. I don't know if I got to do some interviews. I don't know what I got to do, but I'm just bringing it to the table to just say that, hey, this is happening and it's real, and it's a real issue both for men and women. And we need to do something about it. Married folk, I'm talking to the married folk. And if you're single, go ahead and get this. Be praying about this now, about you and your spouse, that you guys don't have to encounter this. Now, I'm sure we can, you know, combat everything. I'm sure there's always going to be something, right? But at least when it comes to this, I hope and pray that you guys are taking heed of what I'm saying here. And not even just what I'm saying, what the word says. Because that's another frustrating thing about all this. Because it's like, Lord, this goes against your word completely. So he can't be pleased with the sexless marriages. Just saying. So anyway, First Corinthians 7 and 2. It says, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman has own husband, or each woman her own husband. So all this other perverted stuff is going on. I'm sorry to tell you, but that's out of order. Okay. And it's again rebuked in the name of Jesus, poly and all that. Sorry, it ain't biblical. Yeah, it's in the Bible, but that doesn't mean that it was condoned, allowed, God's will. Okay. Just because people made decisions to be greedy and selfish and do whatever they did to add on additional spouses and stuff. I ain't gonna lie. I joke every now and then, be like, man, you know, it would be convenient to have another husband sometimes. You know what I mean? Or whatever the case may be. But would I actually go the route to do that type of thing? No, that would be, again, selfish and greedy of me to do such things. But this Bible verse is clear that each man should have his own wife, and each wife her own husband. Why? It says because of the temptation to sexual immorality. Now y'all can go deeper about sexual immorality, but that ain't what we're talking about today. Today we're talking about sexless marriage. So I think that's it in regards to the verses that I felt led to share this morning. I mean, there's plenty of verses that you guys can peruse and let marinate on your heart, souls, and minds. In fact, 1 Corinthians 7, 1 through 40, you guys can take a look at and see what the Lord wants to share with you about this conversation. There's even a couple of articles at gotquestions.org that you guys can take a look at as well that hopefully will help us with this. One of them is called, What should be the Christian's response to lack of sex in marriage, with parentheses, sexless marriage. So that's an article. And then there's a collection of articles at gotquestions.org that are under the title Marriage Unity. Maybe we should all take a look at those as well to just get some more encouragement and whatnot there. But I guess this morning the juice is, again, I strongly against this idea of sexless marriage. And I say I sympathize for anybody that's in this. I understand, again, the inner turmoil that you can go through as well as the outer turmoil that you can go through in such situations. And I just really implore and pray that anybody listens to the sound of my voice, but especially married couples, would take heed to what the Word of God has to say about this. And do something about it. Like I said, this year we're doing something different, right? And so whatever is coming, whatever you can do to combat this and keep your marriage intact and things like that, it's important. It's not just about, again, the marriage bed and the sex life, right? It is about, again, the cultivation of, yes, your marriage, your family, your legacy. It goes on and on. It's way beyond just that. But like I guess we were sitting here talking about yesterday, this whole idea of cutting off the door or cutting off the head of the marriage and things of that nature. Like, the enemy is coming for marriage. Like, if you guys don't see the ongoing battle between men and women, and then even your husband and wives, because we know every man ain't a husband and every woman ain't a wife, but there's a battle happening between men and women already. And then there's this thing that's trying to tear apart husbands and wives. And we got to do something about it, y'all. We can't be sitting here and just letting it slide and happen. Because then down the line, you confused is why the family done broke apart. And then the community done broke apart. And it just keeps going on and on and on and on. So yeah, this is an important conversation. So if you're married, and especially if you're believers, then listen, I don't know if y'all, we need to get this hashtag going. Look, more married sex, hashtag. you need to be doing your part to combat this thing, because it's a serious, serious problem. And that's the juice. Okay, now the Bible verse of today is Psalm 145 and 18. It says, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Friends, I hope you all enjoyed this juice this morning. Thank you so much for listening to God, Sex, and Love, your daily dose of inspiration, the juice. I pray you guys can go forth and have a wonderful day, and I look forward to talking to you all on Monday, if the Lord's will. Bye-bye.
Did you know that you can support us for just 99 cents a month? That's right, friends. You can support everything that we do here at GSL for just 99 cents a month. Take a look around wherever this post is. You might see a link or maybe even a button that says support. Go there, check out the options, consider supporting us because, you know, we enjoy bringing you all the daily inspiration as well as the weekly talk show, but we have much, much more to come. Thank you so much for the consideration. Bye-bye.